You're live, Dave. You are.
Oh, I'm ready to go. Oh,
oh yeah. You're.
I'm Dave. This is Geeks with Kids. That's Eric. That's special guest Bob. That's Steve, who hasn't been here in God knows how long. We're like going to talk about Helldivers. Welcome. Let's get into it.
That was good. That was
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Well done, man. How are we going to get into it? How are we going to get into it?
Well, you know, it's democracy. Geeks with Kids, so...
Ooh, yeah, we vote on it, because we got to spread democracy.
Well, all who are in favor of what's good, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Sure.
Well, so you passed unanimously. Sure. Who wants to start?
Helldivers rules. Play it.
Yeah,
Eric,
look.
Eric, what's good?
What's good? Oh, God.
Yeah.
You had to start with me. I wasn't even thinking about that. I thought we were going to
skip
this.
That's why I picked you.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I picked you.
What's good? Oh, God. I don't know.
That, other than Helldivers. You gotta
that's all I've been playing the last like 2 weeks.
What have you been watching? What have you been reading?
I've been rereading the Discworld books. I'm doing Small Gods right now, which is a really fun book. I started a narration class with Robert Clotworthy the other week. And he's like, bring something that's based on your humor, or at least something that... that speaks to you, and I brought that in. He's like, this is really good. I've never read it. I was like, dude, you narrated Empire of Dreams, the Star Wars story. This is something you should read. Like,
nice.
He's an amazing narrator, so that's a good class. There you go. There's something
I like the idea that he's a narrator, but he doesn't actually read books normally.
You know,
it's the Discworld books
too
much, are...
It's too close to work, man. You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure he does.
It's one of the things that bugs the hell out of people. I know that, you know, I went to, you know, I got an English degree, and I've only read maybe 5 books my whole life, honestly.
Like, I don't think the degree makes any difference. My sister works in insurance and has a psychology degree. Those things do not intersect, like, at all.
I thought you had a business degree for some reason.
I ended up insurance, too. That's pretty cool. I didn't know you had that.
One of my best friends has a mathematics degree, and he doesn't remember any of it, and he became an electrician. Like,
that's like...
You gotta know about the number of ohms of stuff.
I don't think he does.
There's been a string of house fires. Nobody's caught him yet.
No one knows.
He works commercial. He works commercial, so.
It's
fair.
I'll give you guys some more time to think, so I will do my what's good, if Eric's done.
Yeah, I'm done.
While waiting for Helldivers, because the cues are probably basically the only issue with the game, I didn't know what to do, and I wanted something sci-fi, so I started rewatching Altered Carbon Season 1, which is so good, and I told Bob about it the other night, and I think he's going to watch it. It's, oh my God, like, it's 2018, it's been 6 years already.
I didn't watch the second one because of you. You told me not to.
Yeah, the second one, it's really hard to start, and like the budget was like slashed and all these things, so, and it's not the same kind of story. The first season is this like neo-noir detective story, but the guy's not really a detective. He's like an insurgent, basically. He's trained to be an insurgent. He's a former, like, kind of like a Helldiver, actually. Like, he's just dropped into, but instead of like dropping into a planet from a pod, in the world of Altered Carbon, they have technology where there's like a little alien metal disc in your neck, and it records all of your memories.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, they don't talk about stream of consciousness. They're like, no, that thing is you. So you can put that into another body. You can just like point a Wi-Fi antenna at somebody. Like, you can jump into that body or whatever. And there's all kind of, and the bodies have like, you know, it's very cyberpunk, right? Mm-hmm. So they have body augmentations. It's biological, it's technical, all this stuff. And then you can cast people across like the universe. So they're like, your thing is you jump into a body on another planet. You can like start an insurgency there. And then he's brought back 200 years into the future, and like a crazy rich guy's like, I want you to solve my murder. And then that kicks off the whole thing. And it's phenomenal.
Cool.
Do they get into the ethical and metaphysical quandaries involved in just having you inside of another body? What makes you you and all that stuff?
They do, because the book focuses on Roman Catholicism, but for the show, they called it, I think, Neo-Catholicism, where there's a bill that's being passed. I think Earth is just one thing, but they're in Bay City, which used to be San Francisco, but it's like a mega city, right?
Okay.
And the Neo
changed the zoning laws, so now we can have high rises.
Not just high rises; they literally live in like the stratosphere, right? Like, there's floating parts where the super rich people live, so they're not with the muck. But the Neo Catholics are like, you get one body, So if you get what they call spun up, if you get put into another body and you go to hell.
Oh,
so like when you die, right? So it's this whole like push, kind of almost like it's a very, you know, it's a religious push. And there's the female lead is a detective, and her family is like split on this because some of them are neo-Catholic and some of them are like whatever. And it's a whole plot point because there's people who get murdered, and what they do is like, oh, we'll just spin you up, and then you can point out who killed you. Like, you were a witness to your own crime. Great.
Yeah.
But if you're neo-Catholic, you're not
allowed.
Don't
do that. I'm not going to hell so you can solve crimes. Okay. Exactly. It's not worth it.
So people just target neo-Catholics in that society, just like, oh, we can kill them with impunity because apparently there's not enough surveillance, which
in future world where there's cameras inside of your brain, but yes. We don't know what happened
where you can literally like download someone else's memories. But, and there's stuff like if you what's called double sleeving. So if you're in two bodies, that's an instant, they frag your stack. So they'll kill you permanently if you're ever caught in two bodies.
Oh, you can give yourself kisses though. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some there's, and also this show is very R-rated. Like, there's a lot of nudity.
Oh,
yep.
James Purfoy hangs like full dong. I'm always surprised. I always forget, because it's like, it's not necessary, but it's to get something across that like these people do not care. They're so rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
Like they'll just jump into a clone of themselves. They don't care. But it's
just the meat wagon. Yeah, for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah,
meat puppet. You know?
Yeah, it's got everything you could want in that. Like they explore all that stuff really.
The more you talk about it, the more excited I get about our conversation the other night when you said, "Bobby should watch this," and I'm like, "Yeah, I should. I really should do that."
And yeah, luckily, once it's done, you don't have to like. There's not more coming out. Like, it's just one full complete season story. That's about probably 10 hours and
nice.
Yeah, I was curious about it.
Digestible size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I was curious about it, I mean, I think you've sold it for me, because, yeah, I was hoping it would be, like, it looked cyberpunk, but then, you know, things sometimes, they have just the visual elements of it, but I think this is, it sounds full enough, you know, of, like, it's, you know, a lot of gray area and quandaries and, you know, messy contracts, so, I mean, that sounds fun.
I'll tell you this, I think it's better than the first two seasons of The Witcher.
Ooh,
which are very good. But I remember Altered Carbon better than I remember those two seasons of The Witcher. So
that's fair. Actually, I do that. I can as well.
Controversial opinion on the show tonight. Better than The Witcher. You decide.
There's a reason I say has bad opinions.
Slap like. Get in the comments. You let this guy know what's up.
They never tell me. Eric insulates me from
from all those emails.
Probably for the best.
He knows I'll fight him. Steve, what's good?
You know, I had something and it's gone. Boy,
you had Jollibee the other day, which was
Yeah, I guess I could go on about Jollibee. I don't know.
I haven't had it. I'm so disappointed.
We should just
I know. I love Jollibee. I don't know. It's just for some reason it just really appeals to me. I like that bee character and the food is just like a combination.
Explain Jollibee because Bob doesn't know what you're talking about.
Eyes are slowly drifting apart. I have no idea what is happening.
Eric could actually describe it, but it basically the meals you can get there are just this decadent sort of combination.
It's a fried chicken fast food franchise that started in the Philippines.
And it's run entirely by bees? Is that the idea?
No, the mascot is bees.
It doesn't look like a bee, but it's just a really happy character.
It does look like a bee. Honey and chicken is a universal combination. Everybody loves it. Yeah, the gravy is also very good. Like,
oh, yeah, the gravy. I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
And because it's a Filipino restaurant, it comes with rice if you want.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Chicken, rice,
yeah.
Honey, bees.
I got mine with spaghetti.
You don't eat chickens, though.
Eddie. Sausage in it.
Yeah, yeah.
What else is in it, Eric?
Yeah, there's spaghetti there. There's like
Yeah, I also bought a burger because you know I'm insatiable.
Yeah, the burgers there. They have like
and
you know
I had pineapple pop.
The only
that's the kind that comes with.
Yeah, it's true. The pineapple
where is
pop.
This, okay, wait, where is this located?
they're all game. Over. They're like, if you're where are you?
I'm surprised they're. Yeah, where are you?
I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota.
In Minnesota. They have a bunch
of I'm looking for it right now.
They have a bunch of
in Minnesota.
Let us know in the comments. Where do I got to go get lunch?
There are 31 in California, though.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a bunch of California.
Oh, and lucky me. I'm going to be there in 2 weeks. So,
hey.
All right. Well, you know? It's a we'll send you a picture. It's like a red sign. It's,
I hear it's very cute.
It is
jelly characters. Okay, well, I was going to talk about Dune, but that's okay. We'll say Jollibee is my yum, because it's actually...
Steve, I have a question. Since Dune is coming out, are you getting that popcorn bucket? And you know
that popcorn bucket?
Actually, I hadn't planned on it, but I am going to the first showing, so
on the 25th?
I might be able to get one. So, oh, no, not the 25th. No, oh, geez, I didn't know.
They have an early one, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I just got advanced tickets for the first day. Fair. So,
Bob, do you know what we're talking about, the popcorn bucket for Dune?
Oh, I've seen it.
Okay.
It's enticing.
Okay. Well, now that I'm aware of it, thank you for letting me know, because hopefully they'll still have some left on the first showing of the official day.
I hope you can get one, brother.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
I feel like it's actually, like, it was something else and they repurposed it. You know what I mean?
It was a flashlight.
It was a boot cleaner.
All right. No, see, this thing. I actually have no idea what this thing is.
For a fucking troll from Valheim? What are you talking about? It's like this big.
But, all right. I'm going to shut my mouth at this point.
What are you, Steve Stifler? Hey, ladies, my name's Steve Stifler. My dick's 13 inches around. Think about it. What are you talking about?
It's like a tuna can, ladies. Let's go.
Short and wide.
Yeah.
Just smush into it.
Oh, I drank at the wrong time.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
I bet you could just drop tuna cans straight through that. Maybe that's what it's for. It's for cleaning tuna cans.
Oh,
it's...
God.
I
can't believe someone thought that was like, this is a good idea. They could have done the ornithopter. They could have done so many things. They could have done like a nuke, but they did the fucking sandworm mouth. Like...
Well, I'm glad you've confirmed that it is, in fact, the sandworm mouth, because I still did not know what it was exactly based on all of that.
What did you think it was?
Well, you know what?
What did you think it was?
I have no idea. I wasn't even... It's fine. So, yeah, Jollibee. That's my yum. And see Dune.
I love it.
It's in your tuna cans in it.
Should I go out?
Please. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, you know what was good? Is issue 6 of Kill Your Darlings. That book I just drew... is out on shelves right now. Go buy it. Go buy your comics. What are you doing?
Why you should. My book? You should.
Yes.
I hear nothing but crazy good reviews about Kill Your Darlings.
I always feel really bad saying this because I was born and bred and raised in the Midwest. We're very humble people. I think it's a very special book. I think we've actually made something that's very, very cool, very, very unique. And I don't think it's like anything else that's on the shelves right now. And people, my favorite review is, we don't know what this is, but we're really enjoying it. We're sort of at the point in the story where all, like, if you kind of don't know what's going on by now, we can't help you. And then now we're just finishing it out. But it's real good. I've never worked harder on anything in my life. I've never been more proud of anything in my life, and you should read it.
Are there trades available yet?
We are actually, so for some reason, I can't remember, I know we had a discussion about it. We were maybe going to do trades, but now what we're actually doing is, because it's an 8-issue series, we're just collecting into one final gigantic trade at the end. We have the whole story. We're not going to nickel and dime you for a bunch of books. I'm ripping myself off, because we could have made a lot of money on Volume 1, Volume 2, and then the full collected edition, and then the hardcover omnibus. But no, for you, the reader, I'm making it easy. Yeah. One-time payment. Whole series. With back matter, probably. Or not. I don't know. I haven't seen what it looks like yet. We're not there yet.
I mean, you sold me, but do you have like a... I don't know. How would you sort of describe... I mean, it seems like it's indescribable. But
just as a brief... So it follows a little girl named Rose, right? Rose is like the most wonderful, imaginative, fun kid you could ever see. And like she, you know, after a tough day at school, she goes home and she plays in this little fantasy world, right, with her friend Wallace, who's like a little stuffed elephant, right? And she's got like drawings of all the characters. She's got a giant map, like one of those front of the book Lord of the Rings maps that shows you where Mordor is and all that stuff. And then one day she goes to visit and everything has gone wrong. Like a bunch of her little friends have been slaughtered, and she finds out there's something very wrong and very evil in the center of it. And the story then becomes about, what is it? Where did it come from? And for God's sake, how do we get it out of here?
Awesome.
And yeah, it's a good time, I think.
Yeah.
I think people don't realize, as you know, we have a lot of complaints about layoffs happening in a lot of industries, and we feel like we had a really bad year in video games in 2023 for the most part. You know, people aren't happy with the state of a lot of films, and it's like comic books have been firing on all cylinders for like I feel like a decade now. Just like we're getting such good stories and more creator-owned stories that are phenomenal, and they're not long, right? They're easy to get into. And I'll be the first to admit, I have been ever since the start of this pandemic, basically, I fell off the face of the earth in terms of comics. And I feel bad every day because I want to go back and read all those back because they were so, I was in the middle of so many great arcs. And we don't talk about comics enough on here because
we should.
Because I haven't been buying them, frankly. I start a co-op in like 6 months, and I'm hoping that's going to be like that first paycheck is going to be like, all right, let's go drop like $2,000 at the store.
Let's go. Yeah.
And yeah.
Cause... For my money, I still think it's one of the best storytelling mediums that exists. There's so much you can, I mean, like it is ultimately just page turns and stuff, but like there is so much you can do just with the printed page, some images and some words. You know, like I said, I think we're the one that we're working on, I think, is something that's really unique and really special. So, you know, if you want to read something that isn't just, you know, dudes with their underpants outside of their shorts in capes punching stuff, we have something that's really cool. It probably is unlike anything you've seen before. So
It sounds like such a cool, like, what happens if Alice in Wonderland goes back and everything gets fucked up? Like, that sounds like such an awesome premise. Like, I got to...
I can't remember. They always say it's like Narnia meets Hereditary, I think, is the...
Oh, my God.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Going off the comic book thing, like, I love comic books. And I have a 9-year-old daughter that just would not get into, like, reading. And then I started showing her graphic novels. And she's like, now she can't, like, stop. And it's awesome. It's such a good medium for... to get people reading, and now she's starting to read actual chapter novels, but like the bridging there was like months before she even like wanted to pick up anything, so I can't say
it's great. They're great for kids. This one don't give to your kids. There's a lot of dead things.
Fair. All the other ones though,
all the other ones they can read, it's fine.
Yeah
for sure. All right, democracy. Awesome.
All right. Okay. So
let's move on to our next.
The meat of the podcast. Star swipe. Whatever. We don't do transitions here. We should.
I could, but swipe. I don't want to.
American flag wipe transition.
Welcome to Super Earth. All right. So Helldivers 2, 2024 third-person shooter developed by Arrowhead Games Studios and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. Sequel to 2015's amazing Helldivers, which was an isometric shooter. Now we've gone third person, and I think most people would agree that's kind of an improvement in a lot of ways. This game has just blown the F up. We had Pal World for about a week, which is still going very strong. But now everyone won't shut up about Helldivers, and PlayStation Canada was nice enough to send us two codes, one for Steam and one for PlayStation. So Eric and I have both been playing. Disclaimer, we've been playing for free.
Yeah.
But Bob and Steve unfortunately had to pay.
Oh,
the iron
fortunately,
price.
I'd pay for this game all over again, and that's not a joke. Yeah. It's so good.
No, it was a good purchase.
I actually, I'm gonna end up buying it on Steam just because I want to try it on mouse and keyboard. I don't even know where to start. I don't know. Does somebody want to start?
I am wondering what you guys are playing it on. Like, I'm playing it on PC. I know Steve's playing it on PC. Bob, what are you playing it on?
Yeah, I'm using mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, I'm a PS5 guy.
Okay, yeah. Personally, I'm playing it on PC, but I'm playing with the DualShock or DualSense controller because I know that this game was developed for PS5. So I was like, that's the way that they want us to play it. At least that's what I felt like. I was going to ask you, Steve, like, how do you feel about the controls? Like, you're playing.
I kind of wish at some point in the last week I had tried to hook up the PS5 controller so I could try both methods. I have a suspicion that maybe the game will be easier for me. I'm not sure. You guys seem to do way better than I do, and I'm going to blame the mouse and keyboard, not my
inept skills. That's nice and safe.
I'm very and the roasting, it's so good.
You better watch out. You're gonna plug that thing in, and you have worse problems, and then you're really gonna get roasted, man. I'm just warning you.
I know, it's fine. The roasting warms
Steve,
my heart.
As long as you don't get as many player kills as I get, like, it's fine.
That's true. But I find the game is fine with mouse and keyboard, but I do kind of wonder a little bit, just because, yeah, turn rates. I mean, I can't spin around like you guys, you know, if you want to, like, you know. So there's something there. Like, there are some settings I might have to modify.
But. That is an interesting limitation because, you know, obviously you either have to have a lot of sensitivity or you have to keep picking up the mouse, right, and moving back and back and back.
Yeah.
Which is why I think games like this... I was playing something else recently. Oh, Aliens. Fireteam Elite, which I feel is somewhat similar in some respects. But I feel like you need like a 180 button in some of these games, right? Like Left 4 Dead originally had, right? Just that, I think it was right bumper, was just like you do a quick 180. I actually took my headset off because I was talking to you guys while I was still playing because I can't stop. And I didn't realize... the control, like some of the force feedback that happens on the DualSense when, like, the railgun, the whole thing rumbles, and you feel it, but I hadn't heard it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, just the amount of noise, and like every time I was firing my shotgun, it was pushing it, like, the trigger back out, and I didn't realize that before, but then I started hearing it and going, I didn't even realize it was actually doing this thing. It just felt like it just feels so, you get so used to it, but it's so weird because I don't play a lot of PS5, but there's so much, you get so much out of this controller in this game.
Yeah, those haptics are great, and then it's sitting there rattling, just going, grrr.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Especially when people don't reinforce you. You're just sitting there like, come on, just let me in.
I think we're shooting too much to notice the controller vibrating when you kind of can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much sensory input in this game. And obviously the PS5 adding that dimension of the controller. But what does everybody think about the visuals?
It's gorgeous, man. Like, this game is very pretty. Which, you know, is great until you're stuck with no visibility, like from fog or like dust or something. Like, I feel like that part, like, it's a little bit too much, but I understand what they're trying to get.
No, but that part, that's like some of the best stuff that ends up happening too. Because, right, like you flip on the light on the front of your gun, and then it's just can we do swears on this show?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You're just in the shit. You're in the shit, right? And these things are just coming at you, and you're just whipping this flashlight around, looking for the next thing that's trying to bite your face off.
True.
I mean, for me, it really heightens the experience. Those foggy things, when it gets real dark, it gets real, real tense, real fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it helps that the sound design is so good that you're just like, oh, fuck, they're everywhere. And I can't see them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, when we first started playing, most planets were pretty foggy. So I thought, oh, is the game going to be like, did they skimp on like draw distance or something? Like, is it always going to be like this to just kind of make it feel more claustrophobic? But then you get to a planet and there's no, you're on like a moon or something. There's no atmosphere. And you're just like, oh, I can see across the whole level. I can snipe across the whole level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, the attention to, that's the thing. The attention to the subtle detail like this, like the types of environments that there's weather effects, that there's a day night cycle, right? I mean,
we were fighting in a rainstorm yesterday, which was
lightning.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, just to go off what Eric was saying, like, yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it's like, it sort of sucks when you can't see anything, but like the whole game is about kind of struggling, you know, and just sort
of
doing what you can, right? And so, yeah, it ends up being like very rewarding when you do have a clear day, but then you're just like, oh, well, you know, I'm in the shit, you know, it's.
Yeah,
foggy and raining. What am I gonna do? You know, so.
Well, they're also very good at capturing the mood in that game too, because like there's two main battles going on, right? There's the Terminids and then there's the Automatons, right?
Yeah.
And the Terminid stuff, people usually describe it as Nom, and it does look like that because like there's a lot of jungles. There's a lot of there's jungles. There's bugs. There's smoke. There's gross green stuff. You know, plants and things. And then. The automaton stuff often gets described as Terminator, and it does look like those early scenes in Terminator 2 with like Skynet rolling through, dark, fire shooting out of stuff, tons of robots coming at you, red lasers flying all over the place. It's they do a really great job of giving those distinct feels. And then even the gameplay reflects a lot of that there, like, because like Terminators have some ranged abilities but not a ton, and then the robots, a lot of ranged abilities, not great, don't like being shot at.
That's a very different type.
So but yeah, but they've done a good job in like those two wars that are going on. Depending on what you're going for that day, you know, it's a very different feeling game in both places. So there's something, there's reasons to go to each for just gameplay alone.
Yeah, no, I'm really impressed how they were able to sort of capture the essential qualities of those two races from the first Helldivers and then to translate them into sort of a 3D environment. Because in the past, you could only sort of be affected by a certain amount of space on the game because you're looking top down. So even when you're getting shot at, there were sort of limitations to like how much fire you're going to take, right? And from which directions. You could kind of plan it out a little bit better. This environment, because it's a totally 3D environment, like, yeah, the automaton fire is like a whole other like problem, like, because you just get so much laser fire on you compared to like, yeah, the Terminators, that is very Starship Troopers. It's like, okay, we're going to use our advantage of ranged fire, you know, and really pour it on, right? But yeah, no, I love how the two different factions feel, right?
So I want to jump onto that about sort of the difference between the first game and the second game in terms of how different it is, because I think pretty well everybody's played the first game here. How it feels different being isometric. You have a lot of information top down. You can see, you know, when you're getting shot from behind, you basically know exactly where it's coming from. So we lose a lot of information going into third person, but you gain such a gritty feel that we've kind of already gone, like, yeah, where you're just like, I'm in the shit. When you get shot in the back, you're like, oh crap, right? You turn around and then you realize, oh, there's 30 guys behind me. And like, what am I gonna do?
Best part of the game, you turn around and you're just like, oh shit! You just gotta run as fast as you can and just try to kite as many of these guys as you possibly can without dying. It's, oh god, like the moments from just the base way that the game systems work that you just end up in are like so cinematic, they're so hilarious. I don't know, and the fact that you're like, it is at its core a co-op game, so you're in there with your buddies all yelling at each other trying to just get one thing done. It's just such a great, I keep saying it, but it's just a great experience.
There's few games where I'm as happy to get TK'd as I am in this one. Mm-hmm. There's just, you know, like, you know, Bob, you know, Bob and I, he plays Overwatch, and Overwatch is such an easy game to get so mad at your teammates. Like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? But every time somebody, like, I know we're all working towards the same thing in this game because the enemies are everywhere. And it's just like, just kill them. Just kill the enemy. And I get, you know, somebody, Eric drops a cluster bomb on me. Somebody shoots a hell bomb next to me and has a mini nuke. And I'm like, I'm never, like, I don't get mad at this game at all or with this game. I'm just like, I'm just so happy that there's explosions everywhere and that we're glassing planets. Like, it's so strange to be in a game that's like this and not get, like, even like Back 4 Blood is a game where you're like, well, there's four of us working together. Oh, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? It's just like, no. It's, I feel like it's on a different level for some reason.
For sure.
And it's, their design is pushed that. It's not a matter of like, well, we just have a different opinion of this game. No, it's the design has reinforced that.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard thing to capture in a game.
Well, we were playing we were playing on Friday night when all the server issues were happening. And we were just sitting there, we're like, well, we're going to let the game load because, even though it's taking a shit ton of time to load, we still want to play this game because it's amazing. Yeah. Like,
or even if you weren't getting your rewards at the end of a match, and it's just like, I don't care. I'm just happy we can just start at level one and just keep playing that. It's for just sure. Super.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. No, you made a really good point there, David. I have to think about that. I was playing a few other, I guess we call them extraction shooters. So there's the similarity is that you're in a co-op team. you go through a whole thing, and then at the end you got to like get out, right?
Yeah.
And that's been a thing, you know, for a while. But you know, Deep Rock Galactic, Dark Tide, a game that I played for the first time a couple days ago, GTFO. And then there's also like what's that new? There's a goofy one that just came out.
Lethal Company.
Yeah, it's
really a shooter. It's more of a horror, but it's still an extraction game.
It's still extraction. Right. Okay, sure. Yeah, but yeah, no, you make a really good point, because I think with a lot of those other games, yeah, there's you tend to, especially you go with randoms, like people get frustrated because you're not like, you know, because it's like it's inches that you sort of gain advantages, mm-hmm. and then if one person is not quite there, then it's like, oh, we're all gonna suffer. But I don't know. Helldivers is just, I think it just really puts you in the chaos of it. And you realize that even as good as, you know, you can get, there's going to be mistakes, right? So it's all just kind of like a shit show nonstop. And you know, and then like you say, like, it's just a certain feeling of reward, like when you make it, right? Like that's it's all about just getting that. But the thing is, you also make it often enough too, right? To a certain point, like it gives you that sliding scale. So I don't know. It's a really well-designed game, like you said.
Well, no, I mean, I remember the first time that we went through and my team TK'd, and all of a sudden we were like, well, wait a second, we still won, right? Because what happened? You got a glorious sacrifice. Like, the game even rewards you when you screw up. Like, it's such a great thing. I was just thinking about what you were talking about before, the chaos of it. Even when your teammates are screwing around like we were that other night, when all of a sudden we just hear giggling, and then he just yells, 380, then you go, where? And then you just have to run. You just scatter in all directions.
It was hilarious.
The 380 millimeter barrage, which seems to take up, it doesn't matter how far away you are, you're not far enough away.
Yeah, it'll get you.
Yeah, if someone had to throw that, you're in the range.
Yeah. If you're not 100 meters away from the guy throwing it, and like one of the guys I play with, I was just playing with, he's unlocked every stratagem. Mm. And to explain to the audience, the stratagems are extra call downs, right? So if you want, like, you have a primary, you have a secondary, and then your armor, and that's it. So when you land on the planet, there's up to four things you can call in, and you pick those before you drop in. So there is a tactical element to the game, and that's, or maybe even strategy if you want to go that far. But so you go to, okay, this one's good at like clearing waves. This one, you know, I can call that an emplacement. That's going to give us more firepower. That's prolonged, right? And you have to be very keen about these things, because who you're like, what you're fighting against, how difficult it is, how many waves there's going to be, what kind of mission you're doing, all these things are important. There's enemy spawners on the level, sort of like, you know, classic like Gauntlet Legends and stuff like that. And I guess these guys are known
They made the remaster of it.
They did. Oh, yeah. They made the remaster of Gauntlet. Yeah, after Arrowhead's the company who originally made Magicka, which is very
Gauntlet. God, it is Gauntlet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, they
God.
Did 20. And I think 2014, I think, is when the Gauntlet remake came out.
Yeah, they did the Gauntlet remake. So it's,
yeah, so they were, so, they so were, Gauntlet. Their forte was top-down, you know, co-op games, and because they started with Magicka, and this is their first time. By the way, this is the first game they've released in 9 years, which is a feat of financing, probably on its own.
I'm the whole reason I'm even here. I mean, I like the premise that David suggested that I haven't been on the podcast because I've just been too upset about games and movies. I'm going to run with that because on some level, that's true. I've just been disappointed for a very long time. And I'm only even here because the game fucking works, okay? I mean, yeah, there's some server issues right now because there's too many people playing. Boo-hoo. Those are problems you want to have, okay?
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, it just not loading at all, right? And, yeah, I fell to the floor once in, like, I don't know, 30 games. I don't think any of you guys have, right?
I did today, actually.
Okay.
But you just grenade yourself and it fixes it.
Oh, I fell into space, man. I was on the ship and I was trying to get into the thing. And I just fell forever.
Yeah.
I got stuck in the elevator a couple times.
We had somebody fall through. So the way your ship is laid, everybody gets a super destroyer, which is their own personal ship full of their own clones, basically, which is why you can, you know, reinforce. And there's like a level where you're not supposed to get to because it's your hangar. and one of the guys kind of slipped through. It was in the lower part. We're like, hey, sir, you're not supposed to be down there. This is crew only. And he's like, God, I didn't want to be down. He's like running around and he can't get back up. And then he fell through and he goes, I'm diving without you. Like he's just falling towards the planet.
Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, to get back to what you're saying. Like, yeah, I mean, it's amazing that they took this long to make it. But I'm always saying, like, yeah, don't release it until it's done. Right. And this is basically done. It's 95%. I mean, it works. Right. And, you know, whatever little bugs are very small. So, yeah, no, it's a good time. And I'm glad they took the time to do it.
I mean,
so go ahead, Eric.
I'm thinking back to last week where I was like, this game, they've taken, what, 9 years?
Yeah,
Skull and Bones has taken the same amount of time.
Oh, you didn't have to bring it up.
But
did you?
I played it the same time, right? Like, I wanted to see, like, did it get better? And it didn't. Like,
okay, you know what? I didn't want to check my emails right now because the moment they announced Skull and Bones, I signed up for the beta, however many years ago that is, as a joke, right? And then
I think I was in high school.
Yeah, I just, you guys keep going. I need to find out if I can find the earliest email just so I know how long I've been. I mean, waiting, I put in quotation marks. Because I didn't really.
I feel like 2015, right? I feel like 2015, 2016. It's about the same time as Helldivers, which is crazy.
We've been joking about it for a very long time. Like, an unbelievable amount of time.
Eric was almost in his 20s.
No, I wasn't even close. I was still in my 30s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways.
Wow. Yeah. But it is impressive, and they've already said, like, they're going to bring out some of the stuff that we don't have the first game. We're going to bring back vehicles and mechs and stuff like that, and likely the third enemy,
the Illuminate.
Illuminate. Which are very, very Tau Protoss esque. And the devs know, like, I actually went back and started watching the videos on like PlayStation Access and stuff like that to see the interviews, and they know, like, they wear it on their sleeve that they have 40K influences and that they have Starship Troopers influences. Like, it's not like the name Terminids, right? Terminids versus Tyranids, right? Like, it's not. Come on.
Yeah, actually, in the latest story trailer, they call them the tyrannical Terminids. They've got nothing to do with tyranny. That's so funny.
It's the socialist.
Oh, the social
automatons and the tyrannical Terminids.
Now, actually, I looked into that. So in the previous game, they were just the bugs. The Terminids, I think, are actually an evolution on them. And the Super Earth actually defeated them because they were trash. But they discovered that they had a secondary byproduct. So they kept them around for farming purposes because they produce oil. So this is all entirely due to, you know, it getting a bit out of control. But the other thing, too, is the Super Earth government, they just put down, like, you know, separatist states, you know, with Helldivers, and so that's how they maintain sort of human unity. But at some point there was a breakoff state of they were called the Cyborgs. They were the original villains in the for the socialist Cyborgs. Well, it turns out that's why the Super Earth democracy is like, those are socialists, you know, so we have to destroy them. So they labeled them that. I don't know if they really were, but they were actually humans who broke off and didn't want to be with Super Earth. So Super Earth called them socialists and waged war against them. So I'm a little curious what the evolution is, because these guys seem like pure robots.
Yeah.
Now, right? I don't think they're humans anymore.
I was just wondering.
Although you do see, and it reminds me of Quake 2, when you're on the Strog planet, because you see all kinds of like humans who are being experimented upon.
Right.
By the Cyborgs. So I wonder, the game is not story focused whatsoever, and it is very much a satire, and that should be evident when you watch the trailers and things like that.
That's why Steve's pictures is the way it is on the stream.
Yeah, this is the guy from the trailer.
Oh, yeah, that's what you put up. I can't.
Yeah.
But, wait, did you have him with his expression going like, "No, sweet liberty"?
You're doing
nice. Nice.
I do think that the writing is probably worth mentioning, though, because I mean, like, the game is funny.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's going to be some additional chirps and stuff from your characters going on, but I mean, like, that initial tutorial, I was laughing through the whole thing.
Yes.
Like, the game is very self-aware. It's very, very funny.
I love the commercials that randomly come up on your ship.
Yeah.
So much media.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah, no, that's the thing. They always had their flavor down in the first game. But this one feels more polished, and I like that it really does feel like it's the same continuity. Oh, by the way, the first game apparently occurred 100 years ago.
Oh, damn.
I really just the little conversations and things like that. Like, this game has a lot more of the stuff that, you know, they you know, they hint at, you know, in the first game. So yeah, no, I enjoyed like the little details. The writing is there. Well, like even like we're talking about like the shop the other day, right? Like there's like a, there's a cosmetic shop basically, right? And you can earn, you know, they have reviews, right? Like fake reviews of the stuff you can buy. And it's freaking hilarious, right?
I totally bought this. This is amazingly made.
I bought this for my husband and he hasn't taken it off since.
There was a 1-star review guy and I think the guy was like getting like shuffled off somewhere. It was like really funny. So good.
Oh my God. You guys are making me want to play it right now.
I know. I'm struggling.
as soon as we get off, we're all going to run over and play Helldivers.
It's true.
Like, the game is addictive. And when, yeah, I don't know. There's probably 12 people I know who are playing at any given time, and when people can't log into the lobby, I'm like, okay, well, you know, let's go play some Payday 3 or something, because that's a whole other thing. I'm enjoying it. I don't care about your opinions. I'm enjoying it. You know, let's go play something else. You know, let's whatever. And they're like, no, I want to play Helldivers. Mm-hmm. Like, people would rather wait and just sit for 2 hours talking to everyone else who's playing Helldivers and listening to. Like, the chats I have with my friends, it's just, they're so much funnier just hearing people get blown up and screaming at each other. Because nobody's mad, but there's still, like, the shock and the horror of it all.
Yeah, it's funny. It seems like they've captured that element of Lethal Company, which is all about hearing your teammates, like, getting screwed over. You know?
Yeah.
Plus the craziness, you know, of, like, a really, like, dynamic, high chaos shooter, you know. Mm.
That's really one of the most impressive parts of this game to me, because it's one of the things that I know that the devs had been talking about was, we're never going to do PvP. It's not going to happen. It creates so much toxicity in the community. We're not doing it. And the thing that is most impressive to me in that game is when I get TK'd, when somebody hits me with a mortar, I don't care. I just laugh. It is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I was playing with a guy and I was shooting Terminids and he literally runs right in front of my gun. I shoot him in the face. He falls over. We're both laughing about it. and I don't know how they've managed to do it, but it's like this game where horrible things happen. You're screwing each other over accidentally all the time. Nobody's mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're all just laughing and having a good time, which is one of the things I love. The other thing I love, and it's one of the things Dave knows about my crippling Overwatch addiction, as I mentioned.
we're trying to get him help.
He's
folks.
Trying to get me out, right? So one of the things I love about Overwatch is the match length, right? It's only about 10-15 minutes, maybe 30, depending on if you have a real good overtime, right? Helldivers is the same thing. You're probably in and out of a mission in about 15-20 minutes, 30 if you're really pushing it, right? So it's got like these little bite size, keep going in, keep doing missions, and it's quick, it's addicting. You want to try a harder version. You want to try some new stratagems out. I don't know. It's again, I keep saying it. It's great. It's just a great experience top to bottom.
I love that the maps are big enough that you're like, I want to explore. I want to see if everything's there. And you're just like, we have the time to do it. Let's just do it. Just do it. Why not?
Like, yeah. I was just going to add in, like, just on both of your points. The thing is, like, you can challenge yourself or you can just stick to the mission and not explore, or you can take it easy. You know, like, there's a lot of different ways you can approach it, and it doesn't seem to sort of penalize you for that. Like, that's something that I also really like. I mean, it's subtle, because all you guys are like really hardcore and like, I want to push it and I don't care about getting killed, right? I honestly, there's days where I was just like, okay, I don't need that stress. You know, I'm just going to go into a lower mission. But the thing is, every time I do, the other guy joins me, he wants to do everything. I'm like, you know what, let's do it, you know, and I get into it, you know. It's really funny, like, and then ends up dragging like really long. It actually gets really hard, you know, but that's the thing. Like, yeah, sometimes I just log in, I just want to do the objective, and then inevitably someone joins, it's like, no, we got to kill every single little thing on this map. And you know, I like it. It caters to that level of attention to detail, you know, the obsessive compulsive nature in some players. But it's an option. The thing is, it's an option, and I like that, you know.
There's two things I would note on top of that, is that it doesn't matter if you're playing on even the easiest difficult. It's called trivial. The game progresses. The longer you're in a lobby, the more dangerous it becomes. Mm-hmm. So even though some missions are easier, there's always danger.
Yeah.
Like, you're never safe in this game.
Yeah, you can get, things, you can get killed so easily in this game, so you're always at a very high threshold of death no matter what. So
enemies don't really do less damage, there's just fewer enemies.
Yeah.
But I kept joking that this is like finally my co-op Metal Gear Solid 5. And I can explain that now, in that in Metal Gear Solid 5, Kojima did a really good job of, and he explained this afterwards. He goes, the reason that you spend so much time at your base in Metal Gear Solid 5 and doing these other like menial tasks of like assigning troops to go, you know, go research this, go out on that mission or whatever, is because the stress you experience of being out on a mission, and Metal Gear Solid 5 missions are typically half an hour to an hour, which is kind of a long time. And those have, you know, you either pass or fail. Helldivers is very similar, except there's the thing with Helldivers is you expect to die in this game. It's not like you're playing a Call of Duty lobby and you're just like, well, I just can't get anything done. You know, I'm just trying to. It's like, no. You expect to die. And when you respawn, when your pod lands on things, it kills them. And it's very enjoyable. And it's a strategic option, too. People go, no, drop me on top of that thing and I'll kill it when I come in. So that stress we build up of playing this game, even if you fail a mission, right, you spend 5-10 minutes up on your destroyer talking about the mission, going, okay, let's pick up this upgrade. Oh, I need this much for that upgrade. Picking your new mission, and then you drop in again. You're ready to go. The cycle, the gameplay cycle of build the stress and then bring you back down is so well timed. And part of that is because the way they've, on the back end, they've got sort of what they call like a game master, almost like, you know, when we play D&D, where the game itself is going like, hey, this is a little too difficult, let's dial it back a bit. Oh, these guys can be challenged more. When I play on level 4 with these guys, I see, you know, up to a certain level enemy. When I play with my other friends, there's like tanks. Robots have tanks at level 4. And I don't bring guns that can kill tanks on level. And I'm like, sorry, there's a tank. They're like, oh yeah, we see tanks all the time. I go, I brought my autocannon. That doesn't deal with tanks. And an anecdote I like to tell, I actually was playing tanks solo and I saw that as the automaton tank, and I respawning, like, your pod does not kill a tank.
No, it doesn't.
But, but I will tell you, Mary was correct. The further you are, the closer you are to danger, the further you are from harm. Because once you're on the tank, it can't shoot you. I was standing on top of the tank, and the turret keeps turning, trying to target me. And I'm just shooting all the automatons around me, waiting for my airstrike to cool down so I can drop it on the tank and blow it up, and myself, so I can respawn again. So they've just really dialed in, clearly with a lot of playtesting, just dialed in the numbers of the timing of these things where... You know, now is the time to send a wave in. And what's even crazier is that there are actual humans who are monitoring games going,
yes.
Oh, you know, it'd be good. Now would be a good time to give you an extra stratagem. Oh, looks like you could use, a hell bomb, or looks like you could use this or whatever. And I'm going, what? When it's, I don't think I'm in those lobbies. I think I'm in the lobbies where they go, oh, they need another Bile Titan right now. They needed another tank. Yep. We just killed a tank. We killed 9 Bile Titans in one level one time. We were only on like level 5, I think.
There was a match where me and you were playing, and there were like 3 or 4 tanks at the same time, and we're like, why? Why is this happening?
And then we succeeded, is the thing. That's why they were there. It's because we succeeded. The game challenges you to rise to the occasion.
Yes, yes.
And it's so satisfying when you do. I very much think the game is a lot about sort of like martial, like in like judo or jiu-jitsu, where you want to create space against your opponent for you to use. Mm-hmm. If you leave your opponent's space, they take the space away from you and use it against you. So you create your space and then you use that. So we get surrounded, then we have to cut a path through, escape, and then kind of let them coalesce and then drop something on them. Mm-hmm. So it rewards you for being a tactical player.
Yeah.
And again, it's so satisfying. Like, I must have put like 40 hours in already, and I just
I haven't played since Friday, and I've played 36 hours already. I'm like, okay.
No, you're over 40, I would say, David.
It does tell you in your stats in Helldivers how long you've been on planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can look up specifically how long you've been on missions for.
I really enjoy that the developers have started adding like events, like the Terminid, like defend the planet thing. And and they said that they're going to continue adding different events throughout, I don't know, the season, I guess would be called. I love that they're...
The war, actually.
Yeah, it's a galactic war, baby.
Yeah, the way the original game, for people who didn't play it, worked is you had the whole galaxy is broken up into little chunks, and you're fighting kind of on three fronts. And as the fronts get closer, you have to liberate planets, which will free them from, you know, like combat missions. But the idea is that all these different forces are working the way towards Earth, and they're, well, you know, they are basically seasons, but the length is variable. As the players affect the war, it pushes the fronts in different directions and also strengthens certain enemies, right? So it's just this sort of ongoing, evolving, you know, mess. And yeah, it back in, I don't know how many wars, I should have looked this up, how many wars were conducted on the original game. But every time either the enemy wins or Super Earth wins, that counts as a war and it concludes, and then it just completely reboots and starts over again. So I suspect they're going to do the same thing with this.
But it does such
go ahead, Bob. No, I was gonna, it does such a cool thing for the community, though, right? Because suddenly, literally everybody playing this game has a purpose, right?
Yep.
When you go to a planet, you are there to liberate that planet. And when you defeat Terminids or automatons, it shows you how much you impacted the war, right?
Very little, but
you did something, right? Yeah. So every time you launch in, every time you hell dive, you're doing something against like this oncoming threat, right?
Yep.
But that's the other thing that's been very interesting has been seeing the division in the player base. Because there's a huge number of people that go fight Terminids. There are not as many people that go fight the Automaton. And we lost an Automaton planet, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and the Automaton fighters seemed a little salty about it. And I'm seeing a lot of fun community memes that come out of it, right? Like, people are making their own propaganda posters and stuff, like spill oil and all this stuff. And I get super pumped about it, right? I'm all like, I'm in, right? But then, like, they'll show the Starship Troopers things where, like, I'm doing my part. And then the little kid comes out and everybody's smiling. And then on the other side, it's like this dramatic music and, like, people with their last stand final bullets against these oncoming robots and just, like, never forget our sacrifice. It's, like, the emergent community stuff that has come out of just the overarching story, quote-unquote, of these wars. It's like inspiring and funny, and I don't know. It's just like another thing that is heightening the experience for literally everyone playing it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was gonna say, I don't think I've ever seen a video game community come together.
BRG is about it.
Yeah, BRG. Other than.
And that's what I was gonna say. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, it's so nice to just have a game where everyone can just agree they're having a good time or not fighting over some dumb thing, like why this thing isn't working or making excuses for something.
Yeah, nobody's going, you gotta use this thing, man. Oh, this is better than everyone's just like, just send everything you had.
Yeah. And it's a combination of everything we've talked about tonight, right? I mean, it's got the humor that's down, it's got the flexibility. The contribution point, though, that is huge. Because, like, yeah, I mean, I, you know, like Dark Tide, I mean, there's this whole premise where we're like convicts and we've been conscripted into the Imperium to like try to run missions against this world that we can't nuke because we need it, right? And it's just like we're just doing these missions over and over and over again. And, you know, you don't see any impact, right? It's just like an ongoing meat grinder, right? And it's kind of fun when you're actually going to different places, seeing the universe, right? Which is one of the things they advertise in the Helldiver setting, right? And you see those little ticks, you know, and then you actually see worlds getting conquered or lost, right? And it's like, it does motivate you on some dumb level. And it's fantastic because, yeah, every time you shake someone's hand or like chest bump somebody, it's cool because it got that DRG element, right? It's just like, yeah, rock and stone. Like, this is it. Yeah, democracy, liberty.
Yeah, the Reddit's already been like, we need our own rock and stone. What is it going to be for this game?
Yeah, that's true. I'm curious what that will involve.
Yeah, when the ICBM goes off in the background and you're hugging each other.
Everyone's saluting. Yeah.
I want to switch back to the salute, actually, because I bought the handshake and that's kind of fun, but I miss just not being able to just salute all the time. Yeah. Like, I actually need to switch back.
Yeah, I've never switched out of it. Yeah.
I do. I use the hug emote, not to hug people, but just because you do this.
You're doing this awesome.
Oh, yeah. Like, you just, right? Like, there's a nuke going off behind you, and you're doing this.
looks good.
I don't think
actually one nice thing is that this game, you know, people joke, like the classic cool guys don't look at explosions. the great thing is because it's running third person, my character can be facing one way, but the camera is facing another. Yeah. So my character is not looking at the explosion, but I am.
For sure.
Yeah, it's no, those airstrikes, man. I love it.
Just there's never a time when happened. A 500 kilogram airstrike from the Eagle or a nuke goes off where people, somebody doesn't go, God damn.
Democracy.
Like you, it's crazy how much you feel it when those explosions go. You're like when the cluster goes off. I swear to God, if like people from Iraq must get PTSD from them. Like feel so real. When you I don't know if you've ever watched like footage, but like this, everything's like perfect. Like Michael Bay couldn't do this good job directing explosions. Yeah, it's just like
Michael Bay into this.
I'm saying he's not good enough.
Yeah, I know. I don't even want to hear his name. It's fine. Mayor.
All right,
it's true though. When I see those sparks, I do actually think of Michael Bay, like with the cluster bombs. Like I will admit that. I mean, it has
the automatons. The kind of thing you got to melt the automatons, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even know what else. If there's anything else to talk about,
are there any things that but if you guys... you'd want to like change up or like fix? Like the only thing I can think of is
servers.
other than the couple bugs, like game design. Like the only thing I want in the game is. For the grenade icon to light up when you have grenade selected, because there are times when I'm like, oh shit, sure. I just threw like four grenades.
Yeah. Over. I've made that mistake too. That's a minor thing. Hopefully they can adjust that. They might not, because I mean, it's kind of hilarious and it's just like, well, I just wasted four grenades.
Yeah,
I mean,
I just blew
part of the
up
design,
again.
Right? But I agree with you. No, I've
to me, that's part of the chaos. You know, it's like, whoops, should have switched back to my gun.
Yeah. So yeah, no, that's a good one. But yeah, in terms of other things,
I think there's two things the game might need: a no HUD mode, and a camera, like a cinematic camera, like games like Tomb Raider and God of War and stuff have. I think that would be really, because the game is gorgeous when you get like I'm just constantly taking screenshots. Like I'm like I'm holding down R2 and then holding down the screenshot button. I'm like, God, I hope I get this right.
Pretty epic.
No, I can't.
Really shooting range. I want a
shooting range in the ship. Yeah, so you can test your weapon.
Oh, that would be rad. Actually, yeah. That makes a lot. I agree with that.
Yeah,
this is really good shooting range. Just jump into your hell pod and get onto a planet.
Yeah.
Yep. That'd be cool. That'd be neat.
Have you guys tried the different armor, like the heavy and light, and the medium armor?
Yes. So unfortunately, armor rating doesn't matter right now for whatever reason.
There's a minor bug. Yeah.
So you are best off wearing light armor. For whatever reason, it's just not working properly. Light armor it's not huge. It gives you a 5% speed boost. Heavy armor gives you a 5% speed reduction. But wearing heavy armor doesn't benefit you because you don't literally take less damage. But the way the armor works in the game is they each have a different keyword, and that keyword gives you special abilities. So the armor I wear gives me 50% explosive resistance, which has saved my life many times. I've eaten many rockets to the face, and then people go, "You're wearing light armor, how are you alive?" And I go, "I'm good, I got it.
It's fine, it's just a scratch.
It's a flesh wound." Oh, there is an achievement, actually. There's the Devastators, which are the robots. Sometimes they have shields, sometimes they have rockets. If you shoot off both their arms and then let them live and then get off the planet, it's we'll call it a draw, which is a reference to the Black Knight and Monty Python's Holy Grail.
Oh, the achievements are so good.
And you don't have to do it. I had someone else in my party do it, and then we left. And we, oh my God, he lived! Because like that guy must have survived four airstrikes and two clusters. Like, but he had no arms, and he's just like slowly walking towards us, this automaton.
Wow.
There's, you know, throwing back an enemy grenade, and which I finally got. And just, yeah, they're all references to things. They're all really funny.
So do you recommend this game? Should you be playing this game? I think that's the name of this title.
Download it today.
Download it now
immediately.
And enlist in the Helldivers today.
Spread manage democracy.
Obviously Eric and I didn't have to, you know, pay for codes. I'm more than happy to end up, because keep in mind this is a $40 US, I think it's 50 Canadian, something like that, 48 Canadian. For the regular edition, and you don't need to buy the special edition. It just comes with a couple more things.
It has higher pass, which I have it, and it's, I don't know if it's worth it, to be honest.
Well,
like some of the gear is sort of good, but
The thing too is for people who want to have everything, I did. You can buy into the higher pass if you collect 1,000 super bucks,
super credits.
So, super credits, sorry. And that's
and
something
it's not that,
you,
that hard to get though. Yeah, that's the other thing.
And yes, because possible. The yeah. the in game currency that like the or actually the premium currency is something you collect in game.
I yes. appreciate that.
Yeah.
So you don't have to spend any extra money, and there, it's basically a 2-tier battle pass, right?
Yeah.
And much like DRG, this battle pass is not going to go away. They're not going to go, "Oh, yeah. well, it's limited time." There is a store called the Superstore, which just shows 2 helmets and 2 armor sets, which are always coordinated. That's limited time. That cycles through. Those also cost super credits, which again, you earn in game. I've put $0 into this game, and I've already spent like 1,000 super credits. I'm unless something comes up in the Superstore that I really want, which is really just a matter of, do I like the look of that armor?
Exactly. Yeah.
And currently, I look like a cross between Master Chief and a Scout Trooper, so I'm very happy.
Pretty good.
Anytime white armor shows up, I'm like, ooh, I gotta get this.
Yeah.
Because the blood looks so good on it.
So and people are like, oh well, it's pay to win. First of all, the premium stuff. Again, you can just not pay any money and still get it in game, and unlock it in basically the same amount of time. And those weapons are not better; they are
different.
They are different. Mm-hmm. They are
the best gun in the game is available in the standard pass.
At third level.
Yeah, you get it quick.
Yeah, you get it.
It's not a pay to win game. I don't know.
The funny thing is when people are like pay to win, it's not PvP.
No.
So wouldn't you want people with better gear on your team?
Although I will say that it is not a terrible idea to buy like the premium version of the game because you get armor and it looks sick. If you want to look like a rad dude. You can, I have it. I got cool head wings. I got a big metal thing here.
If you're into that,
sick,
that goes down.
Yeah. So just to clarify for everybody, So there's two passes or seasons, I guess, right? But you can get access to the second one through the game. You don't need to buy the special edition. Special edition also gives you Destiny looking armor. You look like a real what was the class? Was
it the Hunter, right?
No.
Nope. It's the Titan.
Warlock? It
looks like Titan.
Oh, Titan.
You look like a. Yeah, you look
it's
like
very
a
Romanesque armor. Very, yeah. Is what it is. It's Aquiloni.
Looks really good. All right. That armor, I don't think will be accessible anywhere ever other than with the.
But you can get armor that looks just like it in the battle pass already. And it does. Well, it does the same thing.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that for people who, you know, who really do care about having absolutely everything, right?
Get the premium because you get a gold cape, which is awesome.
If you're like me and you don't like gold.
But the cape has like a cool skull on it, dude. Yep. You look so rad.
It's so awesome.
There is one gun. What is it? A submachine gun that you also get?
Yeah, it's okay.
There's two incendiaries, and then there's a shotgun. One's an incendiary shotgun, but the last one's a shotgun. Because
No. I mean that comes with the special edition.
With the special edition, you get a submachine gun.
Oh,
yeah. There is one submachine gun, but again. The weapons are all different. They're not necessarily better. The only thing that I think is of real value, other than costumes, I do care about the costumes, is the machine. What is it called again? Stratagem.
The Stratagem Hero.
Stratagem Hero.
Because I suck at typing out stratagems. What David neglected to mention is, yes, these are call-downs, but they're call-downs based on the dexterity of your fingers for punching out codes while you're getting...
They don't time out. You just got to be, you know, just don't fuck up.
Well, there's a dumb little video game if you buy, like, the deluxe edition where you can just practice playing.
But no one looks at which stratagem it is in the video game. You're just like, fuck, that's it's up, true. Down,
yeah,
left, right, left.
They are the same. It is a way to practice.
Yeah, they are real stratagems. Yeah, they're not just random, but...
Someone got 1240 on the scoreboard today.
Damn.
So.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah, 3 perfect runs.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty
good. And also, it is one of those things where, like, you can learn to memorize stratagems so you don't look in the top left when you're hitting L1 and then.
No. Like, I want to get to that point again because when I played the first Helldivers, I totally knew how to do all that. But now I'm just.
Up, down, left, right, up.
For resupply. No, not resupply. Reinforce.
Reinforce.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sorry I shot you one.
Hop up, down, resupply up is like, resupply.
Yeah, yeah. And then left? Whatever it is. But it's just so much fun. And if you really want to be a dick, you can actually block someone's view while they're trying to play strategy.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dick.
It's just, we're really, like, as much as like we deserve a game like this after like so long of games that are trying to nickel and dime, like Diablo 4, whoever you want to call out, Blizzard, Activision, you know, EA and stuff like that. We obviously have had some good games. People, you know, went apeshit over BG3, and we didn't really talk about sooner or later. We should probably do like a BG3 thing. Maybe after I beat it.
Yeah, after I beat it too. I keep restarting it.
This is not this is a double A game. And I think most of us have said for a long time, the future in games is probably not triple A. It's probably double A to indie. Like, you get games like Valheim and Shrouded is super popular right now, right? Like Pal World. These are not triple A titles. These are incredibly engrossing games that you'll spend tons of time on that are not going to break the bank. And something a lot of people forget is that for some people, they buy one game a year, right? Especially because, when you got to buy NHL 2024, that's like a $90, $100 investment, and you're really just getting a roster update, which is kind of a joke. So for games like this, like, we're really lucky that games like this exist, and that they will continue to have the support. Because like Helldivers 1 only got shut down like a little while ago, like it's very recent. Like, you could, and that was a PS3 title. PS3,
big game though.
So I think like, as much as we deserve it, I think we should count ourselves lucky.
Yep, I do
that. We have this.
No, like I said, it's the only reason I'm even here talking tonight. I'm here with limited time with Fry.
Also, you like Fry. You like us, Steve. You like us.
He likes me. Okay, let's be clear.
Eric, you're mortars, not so much.
What are you talking about? Mortars are the best way to TK people.
That's why I bring two mortars now. So that's
earlier. I was joking earlier. I swear to God, when the mortars run out of enemies, it just starts targeting allies. Like, I'm getting mortared. I'm like, there's no one near me.
I gotta put this somewhere, guys. Look out!
I wish the mortar was like a Rick and Morty robot. It'd be like, well, I swear there was someone there when I launched that round.
I'm glad our gear doesn't talk back to us.
That would be very fitting for the setting, I feel like, though.
I before we go, I think we all agree this is a thumbs up, and everyone should just go buy it. It's a good time, and it's not a full price game, and I think it deserves the support. There's all kinds of reasons to play it. Bottom line, it's just fun, you know.
In a world where Ubisoft is trying to convince you to spend more money on a game that's not as good as the one they used to put out, buy the one that's cheap, and then it's just endless fun with your friends. It's unbelievable.
And if you want to throw more money at it, there is an option.
This is a game I would like, if they had like DLC coming out, I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, yeah. I'll give you all the money.
These are developers that deserve to be rewarded in my book.
I have this this quote for how Managed Democracy actually works. I just wanted to throw this in right away here. I'll read it in their Starship Troopers voice. Utilizing computer-aided voting software, citizens are asked to answer several questions, and the outcome of their vote is decided upon by the computer. This removes the uncertainty that existed in the old systems, where voters didn't understand fully what they were voting for, giving us managed democracy.
Managed democracy.
So go out. Spread managed democracy. It is the system to spread democracy. For Super Earth.
For Super Earth. Super Earth.
Eric's been paid money to do voiceovers.
Yeah. hey, it's true.
Follow your dreams, kids. That's all we're saying. Sure.
Bob, is there a place people can find you online? So,
I'm on all of your favorite social media websites:
Friendster, Napster,
Tumblr,
Livewire, Hotline HQ. How old are you? I'm old.
Vampire Freaks, Vampire Freaks,
buttstuff.org. Sure, I'm all over the place. So most of the time I spend on Blue Sky these days. I'm all robotjq.bsky.app or whatever it is. RobotJQ on Twitter. Don't really check it that much. King of Smaster on Instagram. I post there sometimes, not that often.
I think it's a great account. I follow.
Oh, thank you. And then I do have a Facebook. I think it's like Bob Q Draws. Not really there much. I have an old Tumblr. I don't know. Where is anybody? Look, social media is dead, people. You know what's alive? Helldivers. You want to find me? I'll be in there.
That's right.
Come find me in my hell pod. We'll kill some Terminids and I'll draw you a picture.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
My
pleasure. People always ask, how do you get somebody on your show? You just ask them. You're just nice to people and
yeah,
you just ask them and then
say, hey, do you want to be on our podcast? I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It's not hard. Just be cool. So on behalf of Eric, Steve, myself, and everybody Geeks with Kids, thank you so much for watching. You know, we're live every other week, and you can catch us on YouTubes and whatever, wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hey, very nice. All right. Good. Have a good night, everyone. Goodbye. Good
night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, that's it for us this week on Geeks with Kids. If you want to get a hold of us, you can send us an email at podcast@geekswithkids.ca. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geekswithkids. Follow us on Twitter at geekswithkidscn. Check out our pics on Instagram at geekswithkids. And you can find all of this good stuff on our website at www.geekswithkids.ca. So if you like what you hear, why don't you hit that subscribe button and leave us a comment. This podcast can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, and your favorite podcasting app. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.